Psalm 18 is a psalm that David wrote, sang, prayed when he was delivered from the hand of Saul, when finally he was out from under all the running and hiding. Oh, don't worry, it'll happen to him again soon. He's going to have to run and hide from his own son. But he was delivered from the hand of Saul, and he wrote Psalm 18. And verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, again, we've seen this kind of language before. He is praising God, and he says right away, I choose to. I have determined to. With my heart and my mind, I make a determination. What is that determination? To love you. What a way to start out his praise and his prayer and this psalm. I choose to love you. I will to love you. Oh Lord, my strength. When was the last time you said to the Lord, I love you? You know, the Bible says we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Our love for God is there because he loves us. He has provided for us. And he's provided salvation to anyone who wants it as a free gift. He preserves us. He watches over us. And you say, he hasn't been doing a very good job. And I say, look at you. You're semi-upright. You're still breathing. Oh yeah, the IRS may be on your back, but at least you're free at this moment. You need to start looking at the bright side of this. There is a bright side, you know. God is good. And he says, I choose. Thank you. I choose to love you. Have you chosen it yet? Or are you still waiting for him to straighten up and act like you want him to? When are you going to answer my request the way I'm asking him? When are you going to do what I tell you? Wait a minute. You don't tell God anything. He can't learn. Some of our prayers, and of course I know we all do this at times, it's just us, we're human. We pray these infomercial prayers, don't we? We got to explain to God the situation. Lord, I got to tell you now, I got a friend and she's over here in the hospital and her right leg, you know, now pay attention, God, when I'm done. I don't want you to mess up and heal the wrong thing. And it's her right leg she's having trouble with, and she's asked me specifically to let you know her hair is also a problem. And Lord, and I want you to know that there are some questions. Like, poor God, he's been out on vacation and he's just come back, and thank you that you're there to get the info, to get him back up to speed. Do you pray that way? Lord, I got a friend who dated a girl who had a brother who once worked for Lockheed. And they've got my application. Now here's what you got to do. You mean God didn't know they had your application? He didn't know? The psalmist says, I choose to love you. God has spared your life. Those of you that are Christians, he has given me and you life. He has given us this life. Eternal life you've got. You're going to spend the rest of eternity with him. Now this light affliction down here, this is but for a moment. You know that, don't you? This is nothing. What did my coach used to tell us? We're laying on the ground, we've got full equipment on, and you got these frumpy, heavy shoes on, and he wants you to lift your feet 4 to 6 inches off the ground, keep your feet together and lift them, and your stomach's killing you, and he's having somebody pound on your stomach, and you're holding your feet 6 inches above, and you're thinking, I can't do it any longer, and he goes, and he's got his watch, and he's right in your face going, you can do it, Bob, you can do it, 3 seconds left, 3 seconds, you can do it. God does that sometimes too. You can do this. Come on, hang on, hang on. I'm right here. Just a few more. I'm coming to get you. Then we go, coming to get me. I don't want to die. What do you want from me, man? What do you want? I just want to put my feet down. That's all. Our love for God is there because He loves us and He provides for us. He has saved our lives. And anybody that says he hasn't done a good job, that person is clueless. That person doesn't understand. That person is not really thinking logically. Oh yeah, it's bad, but it could always be worse. And David says, you know, I choose to love you, O Lord, my strength. You are my strength. All right. Underline my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Not only are you my strength, he says, but you are my rock. A rock. What is a rock? Stability and security. You think about a rock, it's solid. It's always there. That's the stability. God is stable. God is always there. Other people aren't always there. I've lost loved ones. Probably you have too. I've lost good friends. And they're no longer there. Not their fault. They're gone. But God is always there. And he's my rock. And not only the stability and security, but my fortress, he says. A fortress is a high place of refuge, where you go for safety and for defense. You can be defended in a fortress. It's a high place. And he also says, my deliverer. He's the one that delivers me. My God, he says. Not just a God out there somewhere. You know, there are all those gods, false gods that everybody worships. There's the God of the sun and the God of the moon. Those gods, we people worship to those gods. And people say, yeah, that's a higher power. And you know what? He says, no, he is my God. Not just the God of Abraham, not just the God of Jacob, not just the God of Isaac or of Moses, but he is my God. And it is one thing. And you know this. It is one thing to say the Lord is a strong tower, because the Bible says he's a strong tower. That's one thing. But a whole nother thing to say the Lord is my strong tower. Do you see a difference in that? And maybe you've been saying God is good. But are you willing? Can you go down from your heart and say, my God is good? There's a big difference in saying, God is a strong tower. God, my God is my strong tower. Now you've put your weight and your trust in Him. You know, it's one thing to say the Lord is a shield, and a whole other thing to say the Lord is my shield. Yeah, we can all say, oh yeah, God's good. God will help you. God will direct you. God will take care of it. Oh, that's easy to say. Now turn around and go, my God will take care of me. My God will direct my stuff. My God will be my refuge and my strength. Do you see a difference in that? How do you pray? How do you see the Lord God? Is He really somebody else's? Is He really mine? Will He really do what He promised? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds me among the lilies. My beloved is mine. He is my God. He is my strength. He is my refuge. When I need someone to talk to, God is always there to listen. I have never had to go find him yet or ask him if I could interrupt just for a minute. He is my God. And the psalmist says, he's my God. And he says, I will trust in whom I will trust. Again, I will. It is a will, a choice of the will. Have you began to trust the Lord or begun to trust the Lord? I choose to put my trust in you completely, wholeheartedly, resting in and leaning on God for everything. When was the last time you thought about it that clearly? Resting in and leaning on God for everything. Everything. Resting in God. Leaning on God. Putting my trust in Him. Or are you going, well, He's not doing what I want. I'm upset with God this week. He's just lucky that I can't get to Him. You know, I hear that. And that attitude is there among so-called believers. The Christian lady I've told you, she said this to me when she goes, who does God think He is? And I think, my goodness, what is wrong with you, woman? No, it wasn't just a woman. I mean, I've heard men have the same attitude. It's just that she was so angry. She said, I don't like what God is doing, and who does He think He is? I didn't know what else to say. I said, He thinks He's God. That's who He thinks He is, and that's why He's doing what He's doing. I mean, next question? He is God. He is my strength, my rock. When was the last time you told Him that you love Him? When was the last time you said, I need to just hang on to You? Hold on to Me. You're my rock. I need strength. I need stability. You're my tower. I need to hide in You so I can get up above everything and get a look at the situation. See what's going on around me. I need that tower for safety and for defense. He says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Worship. We use that word quite often in the church, don't we? Worship. It comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, worth, meaning worth. When you say worship, you are really saying the old word to have worth. So worship is given to the one who has worth. Or, another way you and I would say it, to the one who is worthy. We worship God. I will call, that the will is a choice, a heart and mind choice. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised and worshiped. Why will I call upon the Lord? Why? Because He is worthy. Who else would I call to? Who do you call to when you're in trouble? Pick up your cell phone instantly? You ever think about that? Think about it the next time your car dies on the freeway. I'll pray for you. Just that it dies. So you get a chance to go, who should I call first? Oh, wait. I'll call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from this car and my other enemies. And then dial. Get over here. You fixed it. You come get it. Most husbands hear that quite often. Remember that thing you fixed? Yep. Well, you need to fix it again. I'm 3 miles from nowhere. Take a left. Is it snowing? Why not? Of course it is. I wouldn't call if it wasn't. Here we go. And it has to be after midnight. Do you call the Lord first? Do you really? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. God will save me, this just said. God will save me. God will deliver me. God will do it. Do you know why you think He won't? Because of the verse we just talked about before this. Because the psalmist was able to say, my God, my refuge, my strong tower, my shield, my, and you might be saying, your God let me down. Your God didn't do what he promised. I've been praying and your God didn't come through. Notice there's a problem here. Is it your God? Saul says to Samuel, and he gives us a clue into his heart, or a peek into his heart, when he says to Samuel, pray to your God for me. Don't overlook that in King Saul. He rejected the Lord, and the Lord rejected him. And he said to Samuel, you pray to your God. Then you go to the New Testament, and you see the sorcerer in there in the book of Acts. Remember him? And Peter says, when he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, I want to buy that. I want to purchase the power you've got. And Peter says, your money go to hell with you. Literally, that's what it means. The King James says, your money perish with you. You're in the gall of bitterness. What did that sorcerer say back to Peter? Pray to your God for me. You've had non-Christians tell you that, haven't you? They find out someone in their family is ill, maybe cancer or maybe some disease, and they've come to you and say, would you pray to your God for me? But everybody, is he yours? Is he just yours when everything's going your way? When everything's coming up roses and rainbows? Does he cease being your God when he allows something in your life that you didn't want? Or when you ask him for something and he says no, does he then cease to be your God? God will save me. God will deliver me. God will do it. Why? Because he is my God. He is my refuge. He is my strength. Look at verse 4. The sorrows of death surrounded me, compassed me. And the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. Now as we read this, and we read about how David was feeling, what was going on, there's another person you ought to think of. Because not only is David saying this happened to me, but this is a prophecy. Now you see Jesus. This is a prophecy as well, excuse me. As we read, we'll see Jesus there on the cross. And he says, I was completely surrounded and there was no escape. The sorrows of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. There was no way. I was completely surrounded. The sorrows of hell, in Sheol, in our language we would say the grave. The sorrows of the grave surrounded me about. The snares of death prevented me or preceded me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, underline my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And David says, God delivered me because I cried out to him. But Jesus on the cross. You see Jesus on the cross now. And what did Jesus do? The sorrows of the grave surrounded me also. I was overwhelmed by death itself. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. What did Jesus say? My God, my God, what? Why have you forsaken me? Remember Jesus crying out from the cross under such pressure and in such pain. And the Bible says, and he heard my cry. God heard me. God was listening. My cry came before him, even into his ears. God heard my cry. God was listening. Are you surprised that God listened to David? David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David was a liar. David had a temper, a bad temper that got him in trouble quite a few times. Are you surprised God listened to him? People say, well, sometimes. But you know what? Come on up and look at Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God delivered him and rose him from the dead, raised him from the dead on the third day. Are you surprised that God listened to him? Not at all. You see, because we're quick to determine who God will listen to and who God won't. David was considered righteous. God said he's a man after my own heart. God listened. God heard. I am convinced. Maybe you're not, because things haven't gone your way. But I'm convinced that when you cry out to God, those of you that are in Jesus Christ. Now, those of you who are truly in Jesus Christ, if there is even a question, I would suggest that you give your heart to the Lord tonight. If there is even a doubt, I wouldn't even mess with it. You say, well, I've been backslidden for the last few years now. I would just quickly give my heart to the Lord. I wouldn't even play with it. And then, when the Lord is in your life, when your life is in the Lord, I'll guarantee you, you cry out to Him and He will listen to you. He will hear and He will answer. That's what the Bible says. You pray to the Lord and He will hear. Now, I don't find any scripture anywhere that tells me you'll get everything you want. I want a lot of things. I'll say to my wife, I need that. And she'll go, no, you don't need that. You want that. That's ice cream. We need that. We need some of those at home. This kind. She'll say, no, no, you don't need it. You want it. Well, come on. The truth is, many of the things that you and I are asking for from the Lord are not what we need at all. They're what we want. You do this for me, and I'll be happy. Now, if you don't be around. You won't like it. What do people say to God? You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. So, just do it my way. Hallelujah me. My will be done. And we'll all get along. But as soon as you start to take it your way, well, I'm not even sure you're my God anymore, because I don't like that. It's not of the Lord, by the way. That's not of the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Have you ever wondered when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever wondered what was going on in the throne room? This tells us, if you want to look at some of the next verses, even if you've never wondered, well, it tells us anyway. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was angry. That's what the Bible says. God was angry. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, do you know there was an earthquake? And it wasn't caused by some sort of shifting of plates. It was caused by God. God shook it. Not only that, but go on further. There went up a smoke out of His nose. Woo! He's hot, the Bible says. And fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. You may not know this, but it got dark on the earth from noon to 3 in the afternoon. And it wasn't some little eclipse like people like to explain. And you can explain it any way you like. It was darkness caused by God. And He shook the earth. And God was angry. God was on the move when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly into the wings of the wind. Or upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From noon to 3 o'clock, it was dark. At the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord God Almighty was angered by these things. He allowed it to happen because it was for your salvation and mine. Jesus, the Son of the living God, died on the cross, and God had to let it happen. His only begotten Son, He let it happen. He stopped Abraham way back there in Genesis. You go back and you read that, and He stopped Abraham from killing Isaac. He said, don't touch your son. And believe me, Abraham was so glad that he didn't have to put that boy to death. He was thrilled. And Abraham prophesied there on that mountain, Mount Moriah, where Jesus Christ himself was killed. That very same spot where Abraham was to sacrifice his son. By the way, for those of you that are interested in types, Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac was probably 33 years old. And you can see the type of Jesus Christ, and it goes on from there. And you can see the church in Rebekah, and you can see Eleazar the servant, you can see the Holy Spirit, and that's a great study if you get some time. Just read through that book of Genesis, it's fun. God let his son die. He stopped Abraham, but he didn't stop his own self. He allowed his son to be crucified and to hang there and to suffer and to shed his blood for me and for you. Jesus died for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world. Wasn't that enough for you? Now do you figure he ought to be bowing to your every whim? Now do you really figure he ought to make things really great for you since now you're saved? Or don't you figure, Lord, you died for me. You bought me with a price. I am yours the rest of my life. We read it in Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I belong to him. If he says go to Idaho, you go. Who cares what the weather does? You'll whine a little bit, but he knows you're joking. He knows you wouldn't take off just to find better weather. Even if you think about it. God knows. He goes on. In verse 14. Well, before we move on the day that Jesus was crucified, it was evident to everybody. Did you hear that? Go back and read the gospel. Everybody knew something was going on that was out of the ordinary. It got dark from noon to 3. There was a huge earthquake. Rocks broke. There was an earthquake also when the stone was rolled away. Remember, there was another earthquake? There at the cross, a Roman centurion, this is not a weak man, this is a battle-hardened soldier, when he saw it got dark and he was there and listened to Jesus and watched the unnatural things all happening around him, what did he say? Surely this was the Son of God. I mean, he was probably born again right on the spot. Surely this is the Son of the living God. It's got to be him. Why? Everyone couldn't deny something was going on. Everybody denies it today, but not there on that hill at Calvary. He says, yea, verse 14. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Notice God delivered. David says, God delivered me. And remember, everyone, that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. There was an earthquake that day, too. Remember, Jesus is alive. He said that he would rise again on the third day. Who raised him from the dead? The Bible says, and you can write this down, God did. The Bible says the Father raised him. And that he took part in his own resurrection and the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. So who raised Jesus from the dead? God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was delivered by God. He delivered me from my strong enemy, a simple reminder that you and I need a personal, active relationship with God. It needs to be real. It needs to be personal. It can't be through your husband. You know, my husband's a real good Christian. He reads his Bible and so, you know, I know I'm saved. No, it doesn't work that way. It can't be through your wife. You know, you stay at home and watch TV. She goes to church. You know, fulfills the duty. Can't be through your parents. Oh, yeah, they go. We stay home. That's really stupid. No, it can't be. No, it has to be a personal relationship just between you and the Lord, a personal living relationship. He delivered me from my strong enemy. That's the reminder to you and I. We need a personal relationship with the Lord. Now, think about it. He delivered me, he says. So here's a question. Do you need to be delivered today? Do you have a strong enemy that has completely surrounded you? Think about your life, do you? Does it look like there's no hope at all? Does it look like you're going to go down? Does it look like the sorrows of death have completely surrounded you and there is no way out? Does it look like the end? I remember in all those series way back when we were kids, it always looked like Batman couldn't make it. It always looked like, you know, the Lone Ranger, it always looked like you had him, but it was continued next week. And they were good guys. And see, I always knew God helped. What do? Cry out to the Lord. That's what you do. You need to be delivered. Cry out to the Lord. First, you must be born again. You must be able to say, my God, my Lord. And then we know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 18 says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. They tried to stop me. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. They tried to stop me. They tried to destroy me. I was drowning in the sea of my enemies, is basically the language here. But God himself delivered me. God saved me. Over and over, so far, through this psalm, you have seen God saved me. My God has come through. Verse 20 says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. What's he saying? David says, by faith, I was kept in his righteousness. By simple faith, I was kept in his integrity by faith. David says, I didn't turn from the Lord. Even when it was dark, even when it looked like it wasn't going to work, even when it wasn't going my way, I cried out to him, but I never turned. Even during the most difficult times, I trusted him and walked in his paths. And it was hard to walk in his paths. The Lord was faithful. I was able to walk in his ways. He kept me in his ways. Notice David said, I kept the ways of the Lord. There you say, I want to be delivered. Well, then I say, then follow God's word. And what does God's word say? Keep the ways of the Lord. When it looks like it's going bad, don't give up and do it your way. Don't give up and turn around and say, I don't care what God's word says. I want to be loved, so I'm going to do this. I don't care about this. This feeling, I don't like it. I'm going to... No, you don't do that. David said, I didn't do that at all. There were times when you and I saw he could have killed the king. The king was in his hands. They could have killed him. And David said, no, that would go against God. I will not do that. I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. David is not saying he's perfect. He's not saying he's sinless. What he's saying is, my righteousness has been simply by faith. I have walked with you, and you have given me the strength to stay in your ways. That's what you want to do, you know. That's what I want to do. That's what we want to do. We want to stay in his ways. Do you know how easy it is to get out of his ways? Do you know how easy it is for me to do my way? Because my way makes more sense than his way. Doesn't yours? When someone says something nasty to you, you know how to handle that, don't you? Spit in his eye. I mean, you know how to deal with that. Start trading insults with one another in love. And it's easy to just step right out of God's way and step into my way. Isn't it? Well, she doesn't love me. She doesn't understand me. I'll go get three that are better than her. Well, he is a jerk. When I married him, he probably, but I didn't know. But now he is. I'll go find a better one. Wait a minute. Before you panic, check God's way. See what God's way is. Look and see. And then there are some of you who go, oops, I didn't do it his way. What do I do now? That's easy. Do it his way now. You know, yesterday's gone. But there's always right now. We can do it his way. And that's what David is saying. He's not boasting. He says, the Lord was faithful. I was able to continue to walk in his ways. I kept his ways. Look at verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. I like it. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God's dealings with you and I are always just. God's dealings with mankind, they're always just. Faithful to the faithful. Blameless to the blameless. Pure to the pure. Crooked to the crooked. And he reminds us here, verses 25 through 28, that humility is the way to go. See that? Humility is the way to do this. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble thyself, or humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Just leave it with him. No, it's not going my way. Listen, I'm sure that your life is harder than mine. Probably you talk to others and you'll see that their lives are harder than yours. But the truth is, every one of us has some things happen to us that we just do not want to happen. We don't want them to happen. And they happen anyway. Now we've got a choice to make. Is he still my God? Is he still in control? Is he still my strength? Is he still my deliverer? Is he still my fortress? If he is, then I need to count on him and trust him. Let him do what he's doing. I don't have to understand what he's doing. I just need to, like David said, walk in his ways. By his strength remain faithful. Just let him do what he's doing. And usually, we struggle because we figure I have to understand what he's doing. And I'm not taking another step until he tells me what he's doing. David said, no, I didn't do that at all. I didn't have a clue. I thought I would die. Every day when I got up, I thought I wouldn't see the end of the day. But God delivered me. How did he do it? All I had to do was trust him. And how was his life? A miserable, miserable existence for 10 straight years. Miserable. Didn't have a home. Couldn't see family. I mean, it was a miserable life. 10 long years. When would you have given up? After the first 3 weeks? After the first 1 year? I remember a lady who said to us, pray for my husband. He is not saved. He was a biker. She kept putting in prayer requests. And you'd take the prayer requests out to pray for the people, and there's the same one. Pretty soon you knew who it was. And her husband would come with her every once in a while to church, and you'd think, man, it can't be done. It cannot be done. I've talked with a guy. You know, one of my jobs there in Colorado Springs was to take the weapons away from guys that were coming in and say, you can't bring that into church. Things have changed now and you can't. But I mean, back then, and so these bikers, you know, I'd say, look, I'll hold it for you. So I'd have guns all over my belt, you know, just holding for these guys to come into church. This guy was a mess. And you know what? God saved him. And she said, I knew God would. I said, well, that's kind of neat. How long have you been praying? She says, 25 years. You got to be crazy. She said, I just knew. I knew God would do 25 years with that? Excuse me, I didn't mean you. I'm the guy behind you there. 25, and I thought, not me, boy. 25 minutes, I'd have been, all right, get another one. Yep. One of, no, doesn't carry one of those. Yeah. Look how we are. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I got to wait 25 years? No, praise God, you might have to wait 30. Maybe 25 years is really fast. Maybe God wants to take 60. You say, don't say that. Why not? What is God doing? I don't know. Why is he doing it? Why did he save me at 22 years old and not save some of you until you were in your 40s? Why did he save me at 22 years old and some of the friends that I have, he saved them at 6 and sure saved them a lot of hassle? Why? I don't know. I just know he knows what he's doing. Do you believe that? He is my God. He is my strength. You should be able to say, he is my Lord. He is my beloved. He is my strength. He goes on, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. That is cool. It was by God's strength and God's blessing and God's leading that David was able to defeat his enemies. He could run right through his enemies and tear them up. By God's power, David did that. He was able to overpower his enemy. He could leap over a wall by God's strength. By God's strength. That is so cool. As for God, his way is perfect. There it is, everybody. If you're wondering what he's doing, just know his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, except the Lord? Or who is a rock except our God? Hey, God's ways, mark it down, are always right. God's ways are always right. You may not agree with him, but you notice that doesn't stop him from doing what is right and what is best. And God and I have an agreement. I just say, just tell me what you want me to do. And then give me the strength to do it. Doesn't matter who's with me or who's against me. And as soon as I start complaining, just ignore me. That's a pretty good agreement. And he does it. Notice it still snows. God's ways are just right. They are perfect. They are the best. Now, do you believe that or not? I mean, just stop. Don't look at me. Look down. Look at God. Think about it. Do you really believe God's ways are the best? Do you really believe that God's ways are always right? They're the best thing to do. I would have never done it that way, but boy, I know this about God. That's the best way to do it. How do you know? Because God's ways are always the best way. How would you have done it if you were God? A lot different than that. Glad you're not God, because God's ways are right and they're the best always. You say, I don't like it. Well, Scotty, what do you do da day? Then don't like it. But you know what? It's still right. It's still the best. It's still exactly what you want and just don't know it. God's word, verses 30 and 31, God's word is flawless. How about that? When God says it, you can believe it. You can trust God in what his word says. I hope you're reading your Bible, because his word is flawless. You will learn, you will grow, you will be challenged, you will be strengthened. Your faith will grow because God's word is flawless. And of course, he's a shield to all those who trust him. He can be your shield. But for him to be your shield, for him to be my shield, I've got to trust him. He's not going to be my shield if I don't trust him. Why? I'll step out from under his shadow. I'll step out and around and go try to do it my way. I'll try to change my circumstances, my situation, and I'll get myself in deeper. When you're in a hole, rule number one, what do you do first to get out? Stop digging. And then God will get you out. And usually I'm in a hole and I want to get out of the hole, so I grab a shovel and go try, and now I'm in a deeper hole. And I blame it on God. I blame it on him every time. I've caught myself doing it. Now, what did you let me do this for? Why didn't you warn me? And of course, you go through the book and it's warning from beginning to end. No, not me. We read verse 32. It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. Okay, everybody, it is God that strengthens me. It is God that strengthens you. It is God that makes our way clear and smooth. You want your way to be smoother? You want your way to be clearer? You want your way to be on the King's highway, on the upright? Trust God. Listen to Him. He makes my feet like hinds feet. That would be a deer, or even better yet, a mountain goat. Like hinds feet. And sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. I like it. He gives me good solid footing. When I can walk in the Lord and listen to Him, I got good solid footing. Like those mountain goats you see out there in the Rockies. If we used to live out in Colorado. Man, they get up. You think, how did he get up there? Yeah, I mean, it would be hard for us. You could be climbing on all fours to do what that. And he's just up there and then he runs. And you think, man, that is solid footing. God gives me solid footing. Just like the deer on the rocks. He also gives me the ability to fight, to war, and to win. Notice that all that comes from God. David was a warrior, and a good warrior. And God taught him how to do that. He teaches my hands to war, so a bow of steel is broken by my arm. You have also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand, verse 35, hath held me up. Thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. You kept me sturdy and strong. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them and they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he didn't answer them. Then did I beat them small as the dust. I like this guy. Before the wind, I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. All those 10 verses I just read you, 35 to 45, you know what? It is God that gives me every ability that I have. It is God that is in control of everything that goes on around me. It is God that is in complete control of it all. That's what you just read in those 10 verses. Even every ability, every victory, all glory given to God, none taken for himself. Notice, all glory and honor belongs to God. Each time God allows you to be used, you don't start bragging about how great you are at it. You start saying how good God is. Look at what God did. God can use us as long as we remain humble. He'll use us. Verse 46, we're almost done here, says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. My rock, get it? And let the God of my salvation be exalted. So he breaks into praise again. Praise God. God is alive. God lives, and he is to be exalted. It is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. And notice, verses 47, 48, God is the one that takes revenge. You have lifted me up. You have delivered me. You've done these things. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave it with God. If somebody needs to be paid back, let God do it. Because you know it'll be done correctly, and it'll be done according to God's will and according to his word. If you think someone needs to get paid back and you try to do it yourself, you'll be sorry. You will be sorry. If you leave it with the Lord, he'll handle it. He says in verse 49, therefore, or because of all this, I will give thanks to you. I choose my heart and my mind. I will to give thanks to you, O Lord, among the heathen, and I sing praises unto your name. Great deliverance gives he to his king, shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Because of all that's just been said, David says, I choose to, I will, my mind and my heart give thanks and sing praises to thy name. And you know, it is a psalm, Psalm 18, of rejoicing. God did it. I'm telling you right now, if you're ready to rejoice, if you're ready and you say, I've had enough, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I want to have something to rejoice about, then stop, bow down before the Lord, and move back into His ways. And of course, you know, if the redeemed of the Lord do not say that the Lord is good, if the redeemed of the Lord do not say that He is good, no one on earth will say it. You know that, don't you? David says, the Lord is good. The Lord delivered me. The Lord. You need a testimony. You've been born again. I've been born again. We need a testimony. The things that you're going through right now, God will deliver you in them. And you will be able to say, my God brought me through. He heard my cry and He answered. What's my point? After He says all this, what's the point? No one on the earth will say God is good if you don't. The redeemed must worship the Lord and cry out that He is worthy, that God is good, so the others can see. Now, if you're showing the others that God is a louse and a weasel, you're misrepresenting God. If everybody around you knows that God is not hearing you, if everybody around you knows that you're hurting and that God's not doing a thing about it, what are you communicating to them? The redeemed of the Lord need to tell the truth. God is good. My God has delivered me. My God has given me strength. We should all be able to say that. It's got to be heard among all people that God is good and that God delivers those that are His, those that call upon Him. People need to know that. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 as we close. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say those things whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I could tell you story after story, and I know my stories bore a lot of people. So I'm not going to do that. But you've got to have your own story sooner or later. Boring people or not, I don't care, bore them. You need to be able to tell people how good God has been. You may not know if you've stepped out of His ways and out of His will. You should be able to say, God has changed my life. Oh, He is obviously not finished with me yet, but my goodness, He has brought me a long way. Look at the change in me from here to here. There's more change coming, but God has done it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. No one else will if we won't. We need to tell the world, He is worthy. He has changed my life. He is good. By my God, I have run through a troop and leaped over a wall. In my life, I have done those things in combat situations and in violence on the streets. By my God, I have done those things. I know some of you can say the same thing. In situations, your God has given you the strength to stand strong for Him. Pray about these things. And more than anything, make sure that He is your God, your refuge, your strong tower, your strength, your shield. Let's bow our heads together.